February 23rd, 2021. The Guam Regional Transit Authority Board of Directors meeting is now called to order. Ms. Hernandez, please call roll.
Okay, we have Chairman Alejo Sablon.
Present.
We have Vice Chairman David Arenz on the phone.
Present.
We have Honorable Mayor Anthony Chargaloff.
Present.
And Honorable Ms. Director Bernadette Weeman.
So now we do have a quorum. I guess in the meantime, we're waiting for Honorable Mayor Kevin Sosuico.
Yes.
This time, I'd like to welcome all of you to our meeting, our monthly meeting. Please mute your mics unless you would like to speak. Thank you. And at this time, I'd like to welcome our newest director to the board, newly appointed the Honorable Mayor Anthony Chargaloff from Inalahan. Welcome, Tony.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Very glad to have you aboard. The first thing on our agenda is the review of the minutes of January 19, 2021. And of course, all the directors have been provided with a copy of those minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve or disapprove the minutes?
Motion to approve minutes.
Yes, I move
on
to approve the minutes. Yes.
January. Yes.
Okay, I think it was Vice Chairman Arenz that first made the motion, seconded by Director Weeman.
Yes.
Yep. Any discussion? If none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? I don't hear nays. The ayes have it. The minutes are approved for the minutes of January 19, 2021. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is the participations. That's 3 minutes per individual. I'd like to remind everyone that you have 3 minutes to provide your transportation and anyone going beyond 3 minutes may be cut off. You may submit additional comments in writing to PO Box 2896, Agatnya Guam 96932, or by email to write@grta.guam.gov. Or you may also contact directly the Mr. Marlon Molinos, our ombudsman, that's phone number. Myra, would you call the first person on the list, if there's anyone on the list?
I don't have anything on my side, but I know Ms. Ginger wanted to speak. And then after Ms. Ginger...
Yes, I have a few items.
...will be Mr. Higa.
Okay. Go ahead then, Ginger. You have 3 minutes.
I have one question. Has the no-show policy been approved?
I believe so. Mr. Babauta, could you confirm that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The no-show policy has been provided and approved. If you want a copy of the policy, Ms. Porter, I will go ahead and have Myra forward it to you.
My question is, in a section after the third offense, originally it was written that the suspension would begin the date that it was served to the individual. Did that still stand?
Are you referring to about the employees?
No, this is for riders. This is a no-show policy for riders.
Okay. One moment, please.
The reason being that if that's still in there, I think it's, I believe it to be a problem because it does not provide the rider with the ability to make adjustments to their travel needs, and especially during the appeal process. So in the old policy, there was a period of either 5 or 10 days before that suspension would be put into place. And there was a reason for that. I believe it's violating a person's due process, the right to be heard in order to seek relief. And you need to provide opportunity for that period of time to request an appeal to happen before a suspension is put into place. So that's my input on that, and I'd like to, yes, get a copy of the other one, because I believe that's a problem. Okay? I know that Kevin Sablon, in an earlier meeting, I believe it was you, had concerns about the ability of GRTA.
I need to go to the top, so I need to.
Excuse me, may I have the floor?
Go ahead.
That the managers, you were concerned about the ability of GRTA to handle paratransit rides once the COVID restrictions were lifted.
Okay.
And in the following meeting, executive manager, that person's disabilities were not denied transportation. What I want the board to understand is that ride denials is kind of a float number. And so you might get a report that, yes, 1 month you don't have any, but other months you do. So presently, I know of 5 persons who are getting ride denials. So it appears as if there is a building of ride denials, particularly at this point in time. All eligible riders have a civil right to the next day ride. It's not 24 hours, but it's a next day reservation. So if GRTA is falling behind in supplying a civil ride, there needs to be attention to focus on reasons for that failure and a plan for corrective action. So let's do the board to keep repeating focus on those ride denials, what the cost is, and the plan for improvement by management. There's also a report in July about pending requisitions for buses. I'm not sure what the status of that is. But for all future procurement, I'm asking that the board be educated on the pros and cons between low and high floor buses, and that review takes into consideration input from people who ride the system, from mechanics, and from drivers. Industry-wide, buses with ramps are easier boarding and disembarking, and they have fewer mechanical parts, and they operate at lower heights, so therefore they actually are safer than a lift. It's my understanding that some high-floor buses with lift have cured. I really ask the board to educate yourself about the differences and that all vehicle performance includes a review of what is best for the riders and for the system.
Okay. Go ahead.
There was a list in July of a lot of desirable outcomes for the transit system. And as my opinion, you could be asking how those outcomes will be and to request data-driven progress towards the accomplishment of those outcomes. That provides you with information that you need. The response time for passenger complaints, I believe, has been changed. For years, public transportation was able to respond to passengers within 3 days with an extension up to 5 days. And it's my understanding that a change was made to 10 days. I'm just checking to see if that is correct. Okay, changes that affect the riding public should be addressed through public input to determine their impact, especially on those who ride. If you reference FDA Circular C4710-1, Section 8.9, it defines an ongoing requirement where there is a structural process to obtain input from the public on any proposed changes. So my question is, were public hearings held on those changes? If it was moved to 10, was there input from any advisory committee? Because those are all elements that are part of the required process of change. Okay? Those are my comments and recommendations to the members of the board.
Okay, thank you, Ginger. I hope that would you be able to send that in written form to... To the board?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I will. I'll be happy to do that. Thank you.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you for your comments there, Ginger. Our next topic, this discussion would be Mr. Higa. Go ahead.
Half a day, everyone. I have a couple of questions. For the record, will there be a multi-step bid issued for next year, or is GRT not rebidding?
I'm not sure, Mr. Babalta.
Mr. Chairman, the Long Beach Regional Transit Authority, based on our budget constraints, will not be bidding out six routes. Long Beach Regional Transit Authority will inherit all of the transit operations for the fixed route and direct transit.
Okay.
And I guess, Mr. Babalta, my second question is directed towards you. As you know, we've been operating without a PO since the end of January. Is there any update on that?
Yes, Mr. Higa. We forwarded the request for purchase order to the General Services Administration, and we haven't received any response yet. We followed up, and as soon as that PO is signed and approved by GSA will definitely forward a copy of that to you.
Okay, so there's no update yet?
Not yet, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Higa. We'll go on to item number six on the agenda, the management reports. The directors have been provided reports from the GRTA staff. If you have any questions while I go down the list, please make it known. Also, at this time, I wanted to welcome the Honorable Mayor Kevin Suswico, who just joined us. The first report will be under the Transit Management System, Accelerated Integration Mobility, Bus and Bus Facilities Grant by Mr. Virgil Penafil. The report was passed out since actually the couple of weeks, several weeks ago. Other than Mayor Tony Chargleff, who just recently joined us for the first time. If there are no questions on that, we can go on to the next report under paratransit. Paratransit, as of, I'm looking at the report here, as in January 29, we had 639 paratransit riders, and as of February 17, we have 642. Any questions on that report? The next report would be under complaints. Marlon Molinos. Is Marlon available right now? Marlon, are you here?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Marlon, I'm looking at the report on February 9, where it says the complaints received fixed route 25 and paratransit 24. And
yes.
on the 2021 and on the so February 16, it's reversed. I'm not sure if that was a typo.
This is as of February 16, we had one fixed route complaint, one paratransit, and at the time it was still pending. So as of right now, that has changed. It's all closed.
Okay. Are there any questions on that report, directors? If none, let's move on to the maintenance vehicle fleet. Mr. Didasco's report. Is Mr. Didasco available?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Didasco is currently working on a vehicle. Status, we currently have 9 MV1s and 8 ARBOC. We also have 3 passenger buses, and all of those are operational. We do have enough vehicles to support our paratransit and our fixed route operations.
Okay. Are there any questions on that report, directors?
Yes, I do. On the not in service, there's an accident pending Colt. May 18 last year. Mr. Chair and EM, I just want to know what accident.
Director Whitman, I thank you for that question. Currently, the vehicle is the AK being repaired. It's being paid for by the insurance company. Was involved in an accident that was at the time was being operated by our contractor, and with the other vehicle and the insurance of the other the owner of that vehicle is covering the repair of the MV1. And the latest information that I have from Atkins Crowe is that the repairs should be accomplished, done hopefully by the end of the week, ma'am.
Okay, great.
So, Mr. Babauta, the total operational now in terms of vehicles is that 28 or no?
Right now, Mr. Chairman, we have 20. We have 20 vehicles that are owned and paid for by the Transit Authority. Vans that thing. So as far as what we have a total of 20 out of twenty out of 26.
Okay.
We have three MV1s that are down and 3 RBOX. And let me just say that the big challenge that we have with regards to putting these vehicles back in service is the procurement of parts. I was advised by Atkins Pro that to me, the ordering and the delivery of parts takes, maybe a week or two. Now it's taking longer than that because of the air because their cars are being used to transport the vaccines. So, and of course the weather, you know, so all of those are contributing factors behind the late arrival of some of the parts that are needed to put our vehicles back in service.
Okay. The StarCraft buses, they're operational now, that's correct?
Yes, they're operational and being used.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Mr. Babalta. We can go now to the, there's no other questions, we can go to the next report. And that would be ridership. Margaret Naltas. Do you have two pages of reports there, Margaret? The power transit and the fixed route ridership report.
Okay, I put together the power transit one.
The power transit, okay.
1,217.
I was just looking at the, this is on the fixed route ridership report. I'm getting some kind of feedback from, okay. Anyway, the my concern was on the fixed route ridership report for the Orange Line, it's the Southern Shuttle. I'm noticing that for the PM for the month, the January, 7 days they had, and the PM that they did not have a rider. And I'm just concerned that, I would like to see an increase in marketing of the services so that we can avail the public of those rides, because it might seem that it would be the kind of using fuel and the driver going to the Southern Shuttle in the afternoon, and it's not showing any riders on seven of those days of the month. So I would like to see maybe just an increase or ideas on how to see we can spread the word more, I guess, especially to the southern districts. I got Umatic and Rohan, Alolume, Talapopo. See we can, especially with the core tree being in place, I would hope that we can get more riders using it, so that it's worthwhile. Any questions from
Chairman and Ian? I was just wondering, can we put an advertisement in the paper to improve the ridership?
Well, that's not impossible. I guess we have to take a look at the what can be done there. I would think one of the ways it could be spread out is, I guess, Mayor's Council, maybe. The mayors are the ones that probably know their constituents more than anyone. Maybe who's in need of rides, or are they aware that the services are available and promote the services. So,
right. And also maybe flyers. That's one way to put in the buses, flyers. That's it.
Yes, well, I think Mr. Ibanez was looking at ways of disseminating some of the media, the information via the media. So, anyway, that was just a concern that I had, that the Southern Shadow is a little bit low on riders, especially in the PM, in the afternoon.
Mr. Chair, I know that for our municipality, being the hub for this side, I know we see the riders, but they know that this is where to, they can get on the bus and get off of the bus. So, and our office is always receiving calls and receiving inquiries as far as, bus schedules and bus times, so we have it posted here. So I know that, on our side, at least, we're doing our part, but I'm not too sure why the ridership would be low.
Yeah. Well, good to hear that you're trying your best here. Then maybe it's just the COVID situation. Maybe hopefully, when we go back to the so-called new normal, that we can see an increase in ridership.
Maybe the stimulus is all spent.
Well,
shopping has stopped for a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, that could be. Well, wait and see what happens next then. There's no other questions, comments on that report. You can go to the budget.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Can I just make a comment on that issue, sir? What we can do, we can do a few more initiatives to try and increase the ridership, and perhaps maybe we'll have to go around to all the southern mayors and advise to reinforce the availability of the Southern Shuttle. We can also put a flyer, and of course we can go out on the media to let them know that there's a need to advertise the availability of the Southern Shuttle. But one feedback that I'd like to pass on to everyone is I go out and speak to our drivers, and of course, with Harriet and Zostomo, the fact that many of these riders perhaps who are taking the Southern Shuttle, they actually, even though there's only a few, but those who are taking the Southern Shuttle are taking advantage of the right to pick up their food stamp cards, go to some of the social program appointments that they have. So it may be that the numbers are low, but the reason why our riders who are taking this Southern Shuttle are taking advantage of the ride is that they're using them for their livelihood in many cases. So with that, I guess it's a service to the community. But on the other hand, we can also go out and do a few more public marketing efforts so we can address the concern that you have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Well, sounds like a good idea. Then I'm all for that. So moving on to the next report on the budget, Jeff Schindler, our AO.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Right now, our ratios are in line. We're hitting the tail end of Q2. We'll be in Q2 next week, the last month. Right now, our numbers are in line. Everything's looking good. Doing our encumbrances or our accruals to ensure that we have the money that is there, that we're accruing it, that we're able to put towards whether it's a PO, maintenance, fuel, whatever it may be. Parallel to that, we're also leveraging, the whole federal side and everything that we have there. And we're working with our team on the federal side to make sure that You know, we're maximizing our dollars that we're exhausting the federal dollars. At the same point in time, we're monitoring what's happening, you know, within the local budget that we have here. So right now, we're in a very, very good spot. Does anybody have any questions?
I just want to thank you, Jeff, EM, for curing the porta potty. That was greatly needed down at Ganya Pool. So thank you, everyone.
Yeah, could you, what would be the total cost of that portable potty for a year? You have a figure on that? How much approximately?
You know what? I don't have it off the top of my head. I know that we launched this at pilot program. I'm sure that vandalism would not be taking place, but we're also taking care of the customers that are participating in GLT services. So right, I don't have an all-in number for you. Jen, are you fine? Can you please chime in, please?
The whole purchase order is $654.
That for how long is that, Jen?
This one is about 1 month.
For 1 month only?
Yes.
So you.
The remainder of the fiscal year is $4,578. So I'm using a bus fare account right now. That's what we're using. $4,578 for the remaining of the fiscal year.
That's what it would cost for the fiscal year for that porta potty?
Yes, sir. And that's going to be cleaned four times a week.
Question, Mr. Mayor Swigal?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair, and I just wanted to find out because I was, I understand that, it's a service that we'll be providing to those that maybe need, but is there a way where we can somehow be partnered with one of the facilities that are down there? If they are open, if not, then try and work with them, because I think $600 per month would be quite significant, and then $4,000 a year. And not to say that that particular bus stop is not as important as any other bus stop. So by doing that, I'm in fear that we may be taking precedence of, that particular bus stop may be starting to set a trend, and they may be asking for porta potties at all the other bus stops. And so I don't know. I'm kind of concerned about that. And I understand again that, helping the bus riders there in that area, or, allowing them to have a place of comfort. I understand. But again, we have how many other bus stations that may require or may ask for that? And how are we going to separate which one is of more importance than the other?
Yeah. I think the reason for the, for the porta potty down there, it's supposed to be the central hub, I guess, or terminal and main hub. Yep. And I know I talked to Mr. Babalta regarding options, to check with Parks and Rec to use their facility, but I think he has tried and it's successful. I'm hoping that when they open up the swimming pool and the facility down there, if they do, that maybe they can come up with a, partnership.
Sure. But again, Mr. Chair, I totally understand, where we're headed. And I'm just cautioning the board and the rest of the admin that by doing one for one, we may have to do one for all. And so even here in Agate, where, we were very cautious about who uses the restroom down here because of COVID, we still opened it up just because, to have that access. But not having the, having the just that one portal potty there and that site, and then them getting off of that site and riding down to Agate, for example, and work close, that is just going to open up the doors for every other bus stop area that would require a portal potty. So
can I just intervene? Bus station is really the major bus station where all the buses come, and as soon as all the riders come from different areas of the different villages, when they get down, most of the time the swimming pool is closed, and then the tennis court is a private entity. So really, this would be more like a pilot. We are going to maybe see if we can just do the porta potty, but actually, in essence, as having a major health station in Havana, there should be a main facility for men and women.
Director Corolla?
I'm stating that I'm not denying that, you know, of course that's a rest stop for that particular bus stop or bus area, but the same with the rest of them. You're waiting for an hour and a half, and you need to go, and there's no restroom. But when you get to Agania, there's a porta potty. I'm just saying that somebody may call in and somebody may get wind of it and say, you have one here, why don't you get one for the other side? Because here we're still waiting for the bus here. And why is it that Hakanya only has it and the rest of us don't have it? So, again, it's just 600 to 4,000 to, you know, times how many other bus areas are we going to have to need it? It's just a cause for concern for me. Again, it's just my personal opinion, but I'm just worried about that.
Okay. If I might chime in. Chairman,
sure.
I understand if we set precedence now, then people might have the expectation. But on our end, this is a pilot program where we think if we could perform a service, then it might be something that we will have to expand upon. It's part of a growth strategy that we're working on. But I do understand that set precedence right now, that people might have the expectation that they're going to be getting it everywhere. So that point is well taken. Nobody understands the expense more than Jen and I do and Mr. Pavalta. So we're taking that into consideration. We've decided to launch this pilot program just to see if it is going to be utilized, not abused, and taken care of, and that our riders can ensure that it is maintained, it's locked up, and that we're going to be able to afford it, because this was something that we did not budget. So as we kind of go forward, we're open to suggestions. It might be something part of our growth strategy for GRTA that we might want to consider at all the major stops, because we just don't want to set precedence and say only in Agania.
Right.
We have to do it down south, we have to do it up north.
Right.
And just to add on one more thing, Mr. Chair, just to add on to Jeff. And so if it is a pilot program, then I think that maybe we should start to maybe have Mr. Penafiel start looking for some kind of other options as far as grants are concerned, or maybe because we're looking at a very, very close budget, you know, and we follow that. And Jeff just said it, you know, it's very close, it's very tight, and we don't know where we're going to be even in the fourth quarter. So again, 6 to 4 is going to be a lot of money eventually soon. So if we can find the funding source elsewhere, I think maybe this should start. We should start doing that now, sooner than later. At least maybe for the hubs, right? Again, Agate is a hub, but we allow the constituents or the riders to utilize the restroom here. But when we're not here, they're still going to expect it. Agania is the main hub. We have down in Arahan, there's another main hub. There's a few main hubs that we have, and if we're going to start to provide it for one main hub, we're going to end up providing main hubs for, I mean, restrooms and facilities for the rest of the hubs. Also, coming up with the park and ride, that's going to be another area. I'm sure we're going to have to put a restroom there if it's not already in the plan, right? So.
Point well taken there, Mayor. But like Jeff had mentioned, we'll
we'll be taking a look at that, maybe brainstorming options, and we don't want to go beyond our means. You know, that's where I know that the GRTA is taking a real good look at, you know, expenses, and it's a pilot program, so we'll see where that goes. All right. Good discussion on that. Is anybody else?
Mr. Chairman?
Sir, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, with regards to Director Sisrinko's comment, I believe those are very good comments, and Mr. Penafew and I have started looking at a site at Agatnya. We're going to be working with the Agatnya Restoration Board and of course the director, to try and identify the location that they feel is the right location for a transfer station. And with that, we are hoping that as we research in the grants, we'll be able to find one that will be able to address the need for a transfer station at Agatnya, that will not only have you know, the opportunity for buses to come in and allow riders to transfer to other routes, but also a facility that will have bathrooms and vending machines and other services for them. And with regards to the park and ride, certainly a facility is programmed to the grant award that we received build a facility at the park and ride at Dedido, with, of course, the bathrooms and other conveniences that normally a rider needs as he or she waits for the next bus going to their destination. So we're looking ahead, and definitely we're doing what we can to make sure that we address the needs of our riders. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, because there's no other comments on that or questions. We'll move on to the next report under projects. GRTA projects, I think John Dijon did a report on the state's management review. If there's no comments or questions regarding that, we can move on to the next item there, which is the GRTA facility, Mr. Babalta. Mr. Babalta, the GRTA facility report.
Sir, I'm sorry, I muted myself I provided a report on the status of the GRTA facility.
Yes.
And a couple of updates that took a few days ago. One, we are finalizing a change order to allow the engineering firm who's doing the A&E design for a facility to be compensated. And with that, with the clearance of the property, we're hoping that will be addressed within the next so. And I'm still hopeful that by March, April timeframe, we'll be able to complete the design and do groundbreaking by June. I'm crossing my fingers that by June we'll be able to groundbreak. But currently we have a 30% design completion on the A&E design process, and as soon as the change order is processed, property is cleared, the lead engineer for the A&E engineering firm assured me that the design will be completed again around March, April timeframe. So we're very, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we're very anxious to get this facility going, because, you know, as you all know, completion of this facility will provide us a strong foundation of GRTA, because under one roof we have maintenance, we have operations, and we have the admin of finance, and certainly we, there's a place, it's a place that we can call home, and nobody will be able to push us out of that location, because it belongs to the Federal Transit Administration, the GRTA, so we're very, very anxious to get this project going, sir.
Oh, I agree on that point. I am very, very, very anxious. We are all very, very anxious. And let's hope that, you know, the COVID-19 situation will improve. Anyway, moving on to the next report under advertisement, Richard Ibanez. Yes. The report, we have a report there regarding the one-year contracts, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 customers.
There's one more in addition to the 5, so we're a total of 6 right now, sir. And I'd like to tell you that Richard is currently on medical leave, so he passed this report to me to in the event that anyone would like to have any questions answered.
No question from me, other than that, I just wanted to mention that I've been seeing those buses go around with, I think I've seen one with McDonald's and et cetera, you know, the, and of course we had a chance to ride on the bus with one of the advertisement on the site, and it was, you can still look outside and see clearly, whereas somebody looking from outside, there gives you a sense of privacy. So we're hoping for more of those coming up. So we can go on now to the, if no, there's no other comments or questions on that one?
Go ahead. I just like to, at the same, you know, following that same note, I just like to say kudos and good job to Mr. Ibanez and to the team for that. It does look very good on the buses, and I'm sure it's making us a little bit of money to have that on, and we're looking forward to more advertisements on there. Hopefully, Jeff, you can use some of that money for the portal party. I'm just kidding, Jeff.
That's correct.
Yes, I just want to mention also that was really nice to see those advertisements, EM, and the advertising person, honest. Yeah, we saw a lot of those going up to the park and ride site, so thank you.
Yeah.
You're all doing a great job.
looks good so far.
Yes.
No other comments on that one. We can go to the next report on the Warm Homeless Coalition. Mr. Mark Chrysostomo. Mark.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. So just an update on the Warm Coalition Center. This morning, I received the final draft of the MOA, Memorandum of Agreement, between GRTA and the homeless group. Mr. Selvabauta has signed our part of the agreement, and in about 9 minutes, we have our weekly conference call with the coalition. Hopefully, we can get the chairwoman of the Warm Homeless Coalition to approve on the agreement. Once that agreement is approved, then we can move forward with the Warm Homeless Coalition. We don't have a set date to launch the program, pending this MOA and producing the ID cards. So this week, the group owes us a roster of all of their clients, so that, and the ID application for the coalition, and we can start producing ID cards for their clients. And On the other hand, any questions on the coalition piece? I have to add on with the veterans mission as well.
Mark, on their personnel, under vaccinations.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing the vaccinations for personnel?
So yes, sir. So all three of us, Cindy is out until March 7th, so she has not received their first vaccination. However, the rest of the crew here at the CTC minus Narissa, the newly hired CSR, we all received our first vaccination. The second vaccination is already, they had, Octavia, the CSRs already has an appointment for their second vaccination, and mine is pending because for the rest of the month, they're out. So I'm gonna borrow some from them to give me the second piece, at least I get a half.
Okay.
But more to follow on my piece, but we all got our first one, and then I'm still looking for a date where the Moderna vaccination is available.
Well, it's coming, I'm quite sure. I mean, they're waiting for that March shipment, so I hope that comes through.
Right, and I've been calling other clinics that with the vaccinations, and I'm checking to see who's who has the Moderna available. And then also, that's one of the questions I'm gonna have to ask the public health, our group, how can I get the second one? Because I'm already pushing the expiration date of the first dose.
Hopefully that will come out okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, Mark. If there's no other comments or questions on that report, we can go to...
Mr. Chair, I got one more. I can give an update on the veterans mission piece.
Okay, please, yes.
So as of the 15th, we have launched the veterans shuttle. Here at the Coalition Transit Center, and so far last week we serviced 7 veterans, all with medical appointments, to and from their pickup, their residence to their appointments, whether it's a CMOC, a VA. So that veteran shuttle is working, and this Friday at 1500, I'll be briefing the commanders of the post, the VFW post, Island White, on this program as well. So we're every day we're receiving calls for veterans that needs transit. Transportation to include paratransit riders, they'll give us a call. And we are also working, just an update on the ID, the access to installations. So I'm talking to the CBOC managers, and they're talking to the Naval Hospital Clinic. They don't see there's a problem with our non-ID card holders entering Naval Hospital to transport the veterans, but the CBOC managers think there's gonna be problems with other than Naval Hospital, such as Anderson, if needed. So that piece with the access without a military ID card, that process is working, and they think it shouldn't be a problem for some of our drivers that don't have an ID card to go ahead and have access to drop the veterans to the Naval Hospital.
Yeah, thanks, Mark, for all your effort. Good job.
Sounds good, Mark. Keep us posted. It just shows that there's a need, you know, for to service the veterans. And they keep calling me for rides, so we'll keep up that good work. So if there's no other comments or questions on the coalition, let's move on to the Park and Ride Facility Report. Mr. Babalta?
So before we start, may I be excused from this meeting? I'm going to jump into the coalition.
Okay, no problem. Thank you, Mark.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Babalta, on the Park and Ride Facility Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Several weeks ago, several of us went up to the Park and Ride location and viewed the area. The only change that I like to report to the board is that Senator Peter Lahey has a staff member working with the Department of Land Management to put together a legislation so that it can be introduced within the legislature, and once voted to approve, it will go to the governor for her signature, and then of course the land belongs to the Guam Regional Transit Authority, and with that we should be able to get a design going for the facility, and as well as you know, the construction, and because FTA wouldn't allow us to spend a penny on any property unless the property belongs to a GRTA. So with that, I'm keeping up with Senator Talai's office to ensure that, you know, the legislation is put together and hopefully transmitted over to the legislature for one of their sessions.
Well, that's good. As we continue to press Senator Terlahi to expedite that process, because, you know, it's the sooner the better, I believe.
Get yes, that sir.
So, moving on to all business, the petty cash policies and procedures.
Mr. Chairman, I believe Myra had forwarded to you as well as the other board members a copy of the policy and a resolution. Mr. Our legal counsel, Tom Peter, had put together a resolution. If there are no changes or no suggestions from the board with regards to the policy, then we can, you know, go ahead and at the next meeting, put it on the agenda for voting.
I do not have any additions or questions regarding that. So if none of the other directors have none, then we will move on to the next meeting where we will take a look at the resolution and vote on it.
Yes, that would be great.
Okay. Under the new business for the fiscal year 22 budget and local funds, Mr. Babalta.
Mr. Chairman and directors, like perhaps the mayor's council and other agencies, you know, our budget's been cut by $300,000. So now our budget is down to $2,694,631. And I've been working diligently with our staff, Jeff, Jen, Shai Palacios, our key people with regards to financial management in Virgin Pinafil and Valley Filipina. And we sat down and looked at our local budget as well as our FDA funds, and to ensure that you know, our obligations are met, with the finances that we have, and we're comfortable with well, even though we'd like to have more for from our local government, but we believe that we can handle what we have to spend our resources on with $2.6 million. So with the $2.6 million, we and of course this budget is a lump sum budget, so we can categorically budget, you know, an amount for a specific category. But on the other hand, based on our needs, we can transfer funds from one category to the other without having to go through the legislature. But currently, we've budgeted $1.5 million for personnel, $575,000 for contractual, $425,000 for supplies and materials, and $90,000 for equipment. And of course, for supplies and materials, we budgeted $425,000, and that's a high number simply because we are funding fuel and, of course, tires and other needs that that are required to, you know, run our transit operations. So, again, Mr. Chairman and directors, we feel comfortable with $2.6 million along with the federal funds that we have from the Federal Transit Administration.
Sounds good, Mr. D. Please continue to update us as there's any changes to that budget. And one question I had was, did you have any word on the proposed stimulus bill from U.S. Congress? What you know, what effect it might have on GRTA? Any?
Sure. Not on the latest proposal that President Biden is proposing. Of $1.9 trillion, we haven't received any update in that regard. What with the stimulus from $900 billion, $600 billion from President Trump, we were apportioned $1.9 million. And of course, I believe I briefed all of you with regards to how we plan to spend that $1.9 million.
Okay. Keep us posted if you hear anything on that regard. Yeah. The next item on the new business, the board governance assessment. And basically, what I wanted to mention to the board is that we're going to be doing a performance assessment of the board and also of the executive manager, and which would include timelines, goals, a bunch of work sessions, and assessments. I will give you more details during a work session that we're going to be setting up. That's basically for your info there. What we're going to be, we will be having our next board meeting March the 9th, correct me if I'm wrong there, Myra, the next at 2 p.m.?
Correct.
Yep, that's a Tuesday, March the 9th at 2 p.m. And what we're going to be doing, if we're going to be going into executive session, I would like to thank all the participants, GRTA board. Ginger, Mr. Higev is still here. Any other PNC Zoom and all the participants in this board meeting. Thank you again. And continue to stay safe, get real good over this COVID-19 situation. So we're going to be recessing for executive session, and we'll be back for an adjournment afterwards. So Myra,
yes,
it's going to be Mayor Sosrico, Mayor Tony Charglav, Vice Chair Arendt, and Director Wilman. Thank you all then for your continued efforts. Jeff, Mr. Penafield, who else? Marlon, let me go down there. All of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lyra, Jen. Yes, recess from the executive session, go back to the meeting, and we can adjourn this meeting at, what time is it now?
I don't have 3:35.
Mr. Chairman, can I just make one quick comment? I just want to,
sure.
I just want to express on behalf of the staff, you know, of GRTA, I want to express our sincere appreciation for you and, of course, all the other directors for the support and confidence that all of you have on as well as the GRTA team. I tell you what, the GRTA team are very, very proud and appreciative of this board, to be honest. The respect that they have for all of you is just, you know, remarkable. So, you know, I just want you all to know that we appreciate all the support that you guys have been providing to us. Thank you. That's all.
I must say that, you know, I consider, you know, GRTA, that familia, team GRTA, that's from the board. We got to work together. That's basically it, and to improve it.
Yes.
Basically, we're in full support of trying to accomplish the missions, the goals and objectives of the agency. And, you know, if we can get down, we can agree to disagree at times, but, you know, we work at this, at, you know, the same goals and objectives and come up with progress, you know. So I look forward to continue working with, you know, you, Mr. Vamalta, and staff of GRTA.
Yes, and I just want to welcome Mayor Charglav. Welcome to the board.
Biba in Alahan.
Biba in Alahan.
Biba in Alahan and Zeus Masi.
Okay.
Zeus Masi. So we'll see you then. We're adjourned the meeting at, this is, like I said, 3:37 on my... my cell phone, 3:37 p.m. adjournment, and we'll see. Okay.